Ronaldo! Cecco, ma vattene! Ma dai! Dai, che non c'era il manco più il portiere! Butti la palla fuori! Ma dai! Partiene! Vedi che tiro che ha fatto! Palla alle stelle! È arrivata a Trieste il pallone!
We won the derby. Pellegrini scored a goal, as everyone predicted. That would be it for this episode of the Roma Happens podcast.
See you next week.
Yeah, no surprise. How surprised were you that Pellegrini scored in the derby?
Well, I put something in the chat. I said three things are certain in life: death, taxes, and Lorenzo Pellegrini scoring in the derby.
Yeah. Amazing. Everyone expected it. Yeah. What's more there to say? He's been
Roma's
really
red
bad.
And not from Roma winning, but from Lazio's red cards.
And from Roma winning. First Roma win as an away team since 2016, and who was there? Spalletti, I think, was there. Yeah, I don't know. This has been a very, very similar match to what we've come to expect. And, you know, Roma kind of dominates, and then last 10 minutes it's chaos, and we nearly concede, and Pellegrini was terrible, and then he scored a goal, and then proceeded to keep on being terrible. I think he missed, like, the first couple of minutes of the game. You missed him, like, just misplacing every single pass, bad touches, bad shots, like, everything. He was, like, kind of in the center of attention, but he was just like, no. What is this guy doing there? Like, literally everybody's first reaction was like, oh my god, I forgot how terrible he was.
And then he scores a goal. Constantly up Ferguson's ass the whole time. It's like, if Ferguson, maybe that's his strategy. It's like, oh, if Ferguson, like, misses the ball, maybe I could be there to clean it up. Genius idea.
Yeah, I don't know. Ferguson's like, I'm going to eat some beans and start farting to get this guy out of my ass. Like, damn, dude. That was a fun game. That was a very, very fun game. It started as a absolute horrendous snooze fest. Lazio were just falling over and trying to disrupt the play, and then we score off divine intervention, and just wow, fucking wow, divine wrench or divine, I don't know, the best fucking game he's played in Roma shirt, one of the best right back games I've ever seen in this club since, I don't know, one game Maicon has played, and that's literally it. Holy shit. And we have fucking Wesley on the bench. I don't know. We have such an insane rotation on the right wing. We've been suffering for like 40 years. When was Cafu here? I think he left in 2002-ish or something like that. So
with
about
all the current events going on in the world, it would be 40 years.
It's like 20-something years, and we haven't had a proper right-back. Like, okay, Marco Cassetti is there, sure. Panucci is there, sure. Cafu was there, sure. I'm just saying, we haven't had two right-backs of this magnitude, of this quality, of this just incredible impact on the game. Holy wow. Divine Wrench, welcome back to Rome. Or welcome to Rome, but he's been here?
Welcome to Rome, but properly.
Yeah. So, how was your feeling this game? What did you get from it? What did you take from it?
I feel like Lazio should be in the Greek league because I think Greeks are the ones who popularize sponge diving, and Lazio has a full team of divers. we'll take Panathinaikos or Olympiakos instead. That'd be fair. They can keep Lazio, I'm fine. But it was a pretty interesting derby. It was better than the last one, in my opinion, because it was a win. But
oh wait,
yeah,
we did win the last one, didn't we?
No, it was a draw. That was the Mari Sule screamer to cancel out the Romagnoli header.
Oh, the one under the post?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that was a draw.
So, all right.
But this one, like you said, it felt like the first half was 20 minutes of absolute shithousery, Lazio players hitting the ground, Roma trying to get something going, and then there was a cooling break for the whopping 30 seconds of football that was actually played.
Oh my god, why? What is the point of having cooling breaks when there is no gameplay going on? Okay, I've said this before, I'm going to keep saying it. Please make football games 60 minutes long. Stop the clock when the ball is not moving. There is no point in not doing that already. You don't take anything away from the game. You improve the quality. And people said, I wonder how long the games are going to last. The games are going to last less because you won't have people falling over and rolling over every 5 seconds to stall for time. There is no point in stalling for time. You just want the game to go and you want to keep on playing so that you don't lose your adrenaline because there is no point anymore strategically in falling down and diving and just doing that all the time. Yeah, maybe like if you want to get a foul, you're going to dive and then get up 2 seconds later because you just want to keep on playing because you don't care anymore. Nobody needs rest 2 minutes into the game. Please, please, FIFA and UEFA and everybody, please. They've been testing it in, I think, Australian something under 19s or something like that, or maybe World Cup for Australia, or that was held in Australia under 19s, something like that. They've been testing it for years now. It is time. I'm so done with flopping. It is fucking horrible. All games last between 51 and 58 minutes, except for Getafe's, which last for like 40 minutes, which have 40 minutes of gameplay. Stop the clock whenever the game is, whenever the ball is not rolling, and that's it. Just continue the game every single time that the ball starts moving again. That's it. It's really simple. 30 minutes per each half. Games are going to last. Like, just, it's going to be awesome. You're going to be like, all right, there is 7 seconds to score a goal. Pass to that guy. He's going to take the final shot, and that's it. How hard is that? Okay, rant over. Cooling break. Sorry to interrupt you. Go on.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I'm going to try to interrupt you last this game, this podcast, this episode.
I don't give a shit. Fuck you. So I don't get the point of the cooling break. I was going and playing in 35 Celsius, and we were playing like the whole time. It was a pickup game, and we didn't give a shit. If you needed water, tough luck. But apparently we need 2 cooling breaks because 27 Celsius is hot, apparently. I don't know. But...
yeah, I don't know. 10 years ago, they played in like 35 Celsius, and nobody cared.
Yeah. And I don't get why you can't do it again. It's like, if you have a problem, sub the player off. But no, it was a good derby. Manu Kone was pretty good. Zule, not so good. But I think that was more because for some reason they doubled him whenever he had the ball, which is great. If you're pulling a double, then that means somebody's got to be open, right?
Yeah. Ferguson as well was just doubled or tripled the entire game.
Quadruple because Pellegrini was blocking him.
We're getting close. We're getting close to October. We're getting close to October. I'm just saying, we're going to enter October and it's going to be halfway through October and we're going to be saying, why is Ferguson 0 goals? What is happening? Are we really going to spend 40 million on a guy who hasn't scored a goal?
Woo! He got the Dovbik haircut. That's what his problem was.
Yeah, fucking, what do you call it?
But it was good. Army no Hermoso, prompt? No Wesley, no problem.
Yeah, Celik was fantastic in defense once again. His reading of the game, like his defensive duties, are just immaculate, spot on. And for me, it really highlights how terrible Gianluca Mancini is at defending. He's late to every single time. Like, people will say that, for example, he's always there to cover the angles or to tackle or whatever. If you watch Ndika play, if you watch Celik play, they read the play before it happens and they don't need to tackle. Like, I think Ndika tackled once this game when he was like way too late because he was covering somebody else, so like he had to cover two people. But Mancini is late on covering his own man. You can't be tackling a guy that you're supposed to be marking. I don't know. What are you doing? Why is he late on every single time? That's Castellanos.
Like, remember when we used to think that Gianluca Mancini was good?
Like, yeah.
Back in the Conference League. Thought he was the best player ever since sliced bread. Man, how the turntables have turned.
I had a thought. When they showed the goals at halftime, like highlights from last week, and they showed a Torino goal, Mancini looked to me like he just kind of thought like, somebody's going to stop this, I don't care. And then it hit me that I felt that so many times before. I felt so many times. And I never like really rationalized it or thought about it. I just fucking, you know, passing thoughts. And then it hits you. I've thought so many times that he just doesn't care because he's like, somebody else will stop it. I'm not going to try. It's like he feels like he's above and he's like too good for some things, like too good to track down a striker, and that he doesn't want to do it, or that he shouldn't be doing it, or that he's just going to do something else. Like, I don't know. He just shouldn't be like putting 100%. And I think Celik, for example, and Ndika always put in 100%. And I don't know. I'm not enjoying Mancini. I'm really not enjoying Mancini. He's been annoying for over a year now.
Evan Ndika almost literally died and has played every single minute pretty much in a Roma shirt. And Mancini is like, yep, somebody else is back there to cover me. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, like, get a shot off if Spieler behind me. I don't care.
Always defend like you're the last defender. And he's like, nope, somebody else got me.
Yeah.
If it's not Spieler, it's somebody else. It's like, I don't even want to put that pressure on my own keeper. Why would you bother? But like you said, it's a bunch of Mancini. Somebody's got me back there. I don't need that. I want people defending like it's the last, like I want people defending like it's the last minute of every game and you're playing 1-0 down. But I think that next season, I think he probably will take a hike.
Looking nice. Think so as well. Gasperini so far to me seems like a coach that sees the same things that we do, and so does Massara. And
well, he's absolutely flipping his shit out on the sideline. Yeah. Like they weren't tracking back. Like there was that run of play in the, like, what was it, like the 60th or the 80th minute.
Sorry, where, what is more run of play?
No, against the run of play where Lazio ended up, it felt like when we went one man up, it felt Roma went back to previous coach ball. Yeah. We're one nil up with a man up. Yes. Let's sit back and defend. What could possibly go wrong?
Previous coach ball.
Yeah. Not dropping names.
The thing where he was lazily jogging back while Lazio had a counter and he was like, somebody will get it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is like not my problem. And Gasperini was over there absolutely losing his mind. It was great to see. Like, unfortunately, he's going to leave Rome with like laryngitis, but, or permanently destroyed vocal cords. But it was great to see.
That's why he said he needs a new challenge. He didn't want to stay at Atalanta anymore because everyone was listening to him. He felt he was dying. Everyone was just like, yeah, sure, bro, whatever you say. And then he was like, I need a challenge. I need to go to a club where nobody understands me, where I'm just telling them simple instructions, and it makes my brain just go into overdrive from anger. That's why he came to Rome. He's old, and he wants to feel alive from being angry.
Old man yells like, at clouds.
Give me the dumbest team in Italy. Oh, Roma. Yeah, I'm going there. Oh, man. I'm not enjoying any of our four captains this season. Holy shit. El Shaarawy, just gone. No legs. Pellegrini showed up for one game, one man of the match, deservedly, honestly. It feels so shitty to say that somebody didn't deserve man of the match, despite scoring the only goal. He did absolutely nothing the entire game. Like, my God.
You know that Kung Fu Panda meme with Master Oogway? That's Pellegrini in the derby. My time has come.
But it's so funny. We all knew it's coming. Like, everyone's like just waiting for Pellegrini goal.
There's only one thing that would have made it an absolute Roma circle jerk is Roma 3, Lazio 0. And it would have been Pellegrini, Cristante, and Mancini scoring. Would have absolutely shut down all Roma social media.
I feel like people couldn't really complain too much about Pellegrini starting because everyone was like, I would have complained, but I know he's going to score a goal, so can't be bothered.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it took literally like 20 seconds to remember why we hate Pellegrini. My God, it's horrible to watch him play. I don't even mind being slow. It's just bad decisions constantly. He tries to shoot when he should pass the ball. He tries to pass when he should be shooting the ball. He goes forward and just gets dispossessed. He's just slow. There was like a statistic, I think, somewhere in the first half where Pellegrini ran the highest amount on our team. And like, that's a nice statistic, but for what? What did it create? Why did he create this movement? Nothing. He didn't make.
I saw one at the end of the match. It was Cristante ran like 9.6 kilometers.
Yeah, it's same thing. What did you get from that? Nothing. He didn't cover anybody. Like, you cannot be the highest amount covered player and also lose your man like seven times a game. All right, you cannot lose your gay. I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
Did we lose you?
Anyway, I don't know. It's such a funny event, funny game. I don't know. This is awesome. We beat Lazio and Pellegrini scored, and we're still here whining about watching Pellegrini play.
No, I want to complain. Like, yeah, it's obviously fun to complain about Pellegrini, whatever. But I want to complain about the quality of the game that I just witnessed. And game is in quotes, because that was pretty rough to watch. There was zero football being played by either side.
For about 30 minutes.
Yeah,
I feel like we grew into the first half.
That just felt so painful to watch. Like, I stopped eating my breakfast because I was like, fuck this shit. It's thick to watch. I can't do this anymore.
I saw a comment somewhere that said the referee came to blow the whistle, Lazio came to flop and fall on the floor, and Roma came to play for the ninth year with Pellegrini and Cristante thinking it's going to work. And it's not. But then it did, because we scored. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
It was a good goal, but I felt like it was going to go down to a draw. If Roma was going to go one up, I still felt like it was going to be a draw. I felt that Roma was just going to end up happening at that point, and there was going to be some breakdown, and Teddy Castellanos came on, and kind of, it felt like I was right. I felt like it, the last podcast I said, we need to shut down Teddy Castellanos, and he comes on, immediately starts shithousing, has a couple of shots on goal. I'm like, for fuck's sake, can we please just lock him down? But it ended up working out in the end. But what was his name? Gila on Lazio? Felt like he kept locking down our strikers. Felt like they could just not get anything going. Felt like Dovbyk got dispossessed. Fergie got slowed down. And it seemed like he had their number all night. That's going to be a pain in the ass in the return fixture.
Have I mentioned I really like watching Pasili play?
No, you haven't, but please go on. Actually, don't.
Everyone was just exhausted, and then Pasili comes on and he's like sprinting after the ball. He's just playing Rocket League out there, just ball chasing. I don't know. Love him. Love watching him play. He was just pressuring the entire Lazio backline the whole time. But, alright, so a point that I want to bring up is in the second half, we looked completely lost. Lazio hit the post, then Spiller had to save a couple of shots, and then the moment we talked about, Mancini, slight tackle on Castellanos' shot, which may or may not have been a corner, which, you know, if it was, then Mancini got there, but again, why are you slide tackling on a player that you're tracking? So, we lost structure when everyone came on. Like, first of all, we were really nice with passing and stuff. Organized a couple of possessions with Baldanzi, with Basili, with Kone, with Neilale, Naui, with Topic. We had a couple of wrench at Simikos. We had a couple of really nice possessions and organized some really, really pretty football to watch. It's just unfortunate that we couldn't finish it. But when Lazio kind of took control, not control, but like pressured, I guess, you know, they tried to win on what do you call it? Not hype, but they tried to will themselves into a goal. And we didn't have a leader out there. We didn't have a captain. We didn't have somebody who was like De Rossi, who would just calm people down and just be like, hey, you go there. Hey, you go there. I'm going to take care of this guy. We need to do this. We need to be better. You know, something. We just had Mancini kind of throwing himself around, looking at the referee, screaming for fouls, not doing it. And he was the captain because Cristante and Pellegrini were gone. So this is kind of the attitude that I'm talking about from Mancini that I don't like seeing, because he doesn't know how to be a leader of the team. And I don't know, Cristante, like, maybe, but not really. You cannot lead by example if you're not a good leader nor a good example setter. So when they came off and Mancini was alone, we just had nobody to communicate to the team. And Lazio just took control of that. They had Tati Castellanos leading the way. And I don't know. He was pushing them. He was very clearly the leader on both teams. And we had, I don't know, Basili running around and then Baldanzi kind of trying to make something happen.
Are you seriously saying a substitute was our leader?
We didn't have a leader. That's what I'm saying. Like, the only people trying to actually make something happen and trying to relieve some sort of pressure or alleviate some pressure were, I feel like, Pasili and Baldanzi. I don't, like,
you're Kone really going to skip over Kone.
He was exhausted. What was he doing the past 30 minutes of the game? Nothing. I genuinely don't, like, remember thinking at 70th minute that Kone was just invisible out there. I thought he got subbed off. I was looking at flash scores to see who Tsimikas came on for, because Angelino was still on, and I was like, I'm pretty sure Tsimikas had come on. And then I saw that Kone is still playing, and I was like, hang on a minute, Kone is not playing anymore. I haven't seen him. And it took me like 2 minutes to see where Kone was. I don't know. He just kind of disappeared. He was exhausted. So when Cristante and Pellegrini come off and Mancini's left, we don't have a leader. Like, it's not like they're great leaders, but they're some sort of captains. And then Mancini just rolls around. He fell like 7 times and he was just yelling at the referee the whole time. I don't know. It just felt very obvious that we just do not have a leader out there. Like, maybe I was just watching De Rossi for too long. Some of my expectations are too high, but we don't have anybody who's just going to, you know, stand in the middle and just organize people, just be like, hey, you take care of that guy, you take care of this guy, I'm gonna be here, Spiller, watch out for the ball. Like, no organization. I don't know, I don't like seeing that, and I think Gasperini will need to change his rule of the longest tenure player gets to be the captain, because the leadership is not coming from our longest tenure players. That's my rant.
I feel like Kone was the undisputed leader on the pitch. I felt like he was doing things like, yeah, he was gassed at the end, but he got fouled four times and was our most fouled player. And getting the shit kicked out of you by people who don't know how to play football is, you know, it takes its toll. But I feel like he was the leader on the pitch. I don't think he should have the captaincy, but I think that he was the undisputed leader. I feel like the other people who were out there, Cristante was running around, didn't do very much. It's like, who was it? I feel like, it was Baldanzi last game. We're like, oh yeah, he's still out there. That's how I felt about Cristante this time. I'm like, I just don't see him anywhere. Mancini was constantly diving and trying to stir the pot. I'm like, what the heck? These are supposed to be our leaders and they're not visible on the pitch. We have Manu Kone, who's second year in the team, doing more than our undisputed quote-unquote senators. What the heck? And Dika was doing great things, but that's, I don't know, it kind of feels like it's been expected of him at this point. Like, we're so fortunate to have Evan and Dika playing for us. But he was like our best defender, in my opinion.
I think so as well. The thing where Lazio had an attack on the right side and it was just completely unmarked, and Dika stayed with this guy in the middle, with his guy in the middle, followed him and monitored him, and the Lazio player was just like, is nobody going to pick me up, and just like sprinted at the goal. At the last moment, Dika splits off, his man tries to cover the angle, tries to pressure the Lazio forward. I don't even remember who he was. And at the same moment, Svilar just slightly steps out, and the Lazio player like tries a one of those. It's a shot or it's a cross at the back post, and the ball just rolls out. I thought that was just amazing defending, because the moment Ndika switches off his man, that pass is going right behind his back, and his man is suddenly through on goal in the center, not on the side. So he just waited until the last possible moment when he knew that there is no point in passing the ball anymore. Same thing when Lazio had the counter where Svilar had to intervene. The moment Lazio forward looks down at the ball, Svilar just instantly sprints forward, makes like, four or five steps, cuts off the angle. Lazio player looks up, sees Svilar is right in front of him, and decides to shoot and misses the goal. I love that. Svilar is so fucking good at that. He's amazing at those. At just making you panic. He knows exactly when to just dart forward. And just, you're forced to make a decision, and you're not going to make a really good decision. You're just not prepared for that. The best strikers in the world are sometimes prepared for that. Like, sometimes they know exactly what to do. Players in Serie A are not going to be that way. So, yeah. Svilar is our best defender, but if we're talking about outfield players, Ndika, by far. Just such a good player.
Yeah, and that's how I feel. Like I said, the people who they say, they're our classic leaders, I just don't see them doing anything. Sure, you scored a goal in the Derby, the only place that you ever show up. He's got, four goals in the Derby now? And the rest of the time, people were just absolutely shitting on him. Like, what the heck? But
just imagine being a Lazio fan and you're like, fuck's sake, they had Totti and now they had this Pellegrini guy. He doesn't even show up. They keep him in a fucking casket like a vampire. He shows up and his car is a goal. Anyway, I agree that Kone was our best player.
You just said Pasili or Baltanzi. Make up your mind.
No, I said when they came on, they were the only ones playing.
I saw Baldanzi had a shot. I was like, oh, that would have been great if it went in. Just a little extra icing on the cake.
He had two shots, if I remember correctly.
Pasili should have kept the shot for himself instead of passing it off to Dovbik, who held on to it for just a little longer than anticipated.
Nah,
yeah.
I agree.
Or Dovbik should have cut it back.
Yeah, exactly. I think that also would have been really good, but nah, whatever, it's fine. It's just one of those where, like, why are we talking about one chance in a game when we could be talking about 10 chances in a game? Well, we don't really create chances. It's
we
whatever.
One,
like,
big chance in 13 shots compared to 10 total shots for Lazio and one big chance.
It's a work in progress that I'm okay with, because you build the team from the back. So you have the goalkeeper, you have defense, and then you need to fix the midfield and actually work out the midfield. So far, like, until Gasperini arrived, midfield has been so weak for us, because we're like, how many times did we rant? Just remember how many fucking times did we rant about our midfield being so shit, about them not covering anybody, not pressuring, about them always being late, about there being a massive giant gaping hole in the middle. We haven't seen any holes anywhere in our midfield since Gasperini arrived. There is just no holes. It's all been plugged in, plugged up, plugged off. So he's kind of fixed midfield, and now we need to work on attack. And to me, that's fine, because you're showing progress. Like, we're already showing progress with development of the team, with development of the play, with how we're going forward. The fact that midfield is just completely overrunning Lazio, or all of our opponents, really, the entire game. They're all over him. Like, it's not yet at the Atalanta level of, like, you shall not pass. But it's pretty close. Like, it's night and day compared to last season, where Ranieri had us, you know, playing winning games and shit. So I think attack is coming. I think we're gonna keep creating more and more chances.
Well, I wanna hold off on reserving judgment on the Gasperini style, considering that Lazio has only won one out of the first four, and the rest have been three losses. So. And, like, we went over the last game, like, Torino was an absolute fluke of a goal. And they had it on the top 10 golazos of the week. And,
like, more run of play?
Yeah, it was against the run of play. I want to see something different. Like, we've played Bologna, Pisa, Torino, and Lazio. And I feel like maybe I want to see what Gasperini Ball does against a Fiorentina or a Milan to really be like, yep, this is a success. It's working out perfectly. But Lazio, who have a transfer ban and are in absolutely terrible form, like, I kind of want to see a couple more goals. I absolutely love the stifling, just your, like you said, there's some moments where, like, the Lazio players did have a run behind. It's like, oh, fuck, here we go. But we managed to pretty much hold tight. It was great to watch. Like, I really love watching Roma press against teams. Yeah. Thank goodness they don't have a YouTube channel. But I am thoroughly interested in seeing what happens with Gasperini Ball in the future.
Yeah.
Was trying not to do that, but whatever. Hate you so much.
It was an allergic reaction, honestly. Involuntary. So I don't even know what I wanted to say. Oh yeah, I'm gonna call you out for being American on this instance, because derbies like these just show that form is irrelevant, form is completely unimportant. Lazio played without, like, a bunch of their best players. Injuries galore. They got, like, 25 injuries in the first half, and they still almost... And a man down, and they still almost equalized. This is why these games are just magic, because... These same Lazio players will not be showing that type of passion against Hellas Verona or against Torino or against Udinese next week or whoever the fuck they're playing. It's just not going to happen. But it's Roma, and they kind of really have to show something. And they did. They're playing Genoa. I can tell you they're going to lose that game because they'll just be exhausted and completely drained and just done. Or they'll just recover. I don't know. We'll see. But
you know what's nice?
Yeah. What?
Is Lazio play Genoa and Roma play Nice for the next match. So don't have to put up with watching Lazio in Europe. Thank goodness.
One last team to embarrass Italy. Italy. So if Baldanzi goes to a smaller team, will he be normal size?
Is mini golf regular golf for Baldanzi?
If he stands next to the windmill at the mini golf course, is it the giant windmill? Yes. Does he become Don Quixote? I don't know. Your terror needs to be stopped.
No.
You're like the Caliban.
It would only be stopped. It would only be stopped if Giampaolo went to coach in the Premier League, because then he'd have to change his name to Petrolini.
That's horrible. So Kone was their best player, but they wouldn't call him the MVP. Who is your MVP of this game? Man of the match, if you will.
Most valuable Pasili.
Who is your most valuable Pasili?
Not Pasili.
Yeah, obviously. That's just the title.
I'd probably go with Divine Wrench. He was absolutely stellar. That goal doesn't happen without him. And he seemed to be all over it today and was making things happen that haven't seen happen in a while. Like, Wesley's great, but he was out with, I think it was a stomach bug. I think just eat some more cacio e pepe and, you know, bind up and you'll be fine.
Dude, that makes so much more sense. I saw somebody post in Chiesa that Wesley's shitting his ass out. I was like, that's a weird comment to make. That makes more sense now. Alright.
He has a gastrointestinal issue.
Give me how you view the difference between Wesley and Rensch. Rensch. Can we call him like his French? Like Rensch.
Rensch?
Rensch.
No.
Le petit Rensch.
I don't know. I thought it's Swamp German. Yeah, he's Dutch. I don't know.
He's
gotta be something weird. Maybe something anyway.
Swamp Germany.
Anyway, but
anyway,
I think difference. I think the difference between Rensch and Wesley is
Wait. I'm gonna try to pronounce it properly because I've been getting Dutch lessons last year when you were missing. Rensch. Okay, no, wait. The it's supposed to be softer. Rensch. All right, let's go.
All right, you feel better now that you cleared your throat?
Dude, the Dutch language pronounces letters G, H, R, and J as I don't know. Whatever. Shout out to Dutch people. Go on. The difference between the two, please.
Anyway, the difference between Rensch and Wesley is... Shut up. So the difference is that Rensch has had European experience already because he came out of the Ajax Academy. Mm-hmm. So he already has European experience playing for a high caliber team like Ajax. Wesley is coming from the Brazilian league, and I think you mentioned it. I saw it somewhere. Wesley has like the raw gifts to play, but he's still playing the Brazilian style, and it's very different when you come over to Serie A. And you're like, I think he's still getting adjusted to it, still adapting and strategizing. But I think it'll develop. They're both young, both very talented, both bring different skill sets. Wesley's more of a dribbler and has more pace, but as we can see, Rensch was more accurate with the crosses. So I think that's the big difference. Is it depends on? I think we actually have a chance to have like a pick your poison on the right wing this season.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Who
do you think is better? Who do you think is better? Like the left wing or the right wing for depth and skill?
I don't know what Tsimikas does. This wasn't a great show for him. He kind of had nothing to do. Just some positional tactical awareness, I guess. And even then, Angelino is just tremendous. Like, I don't know. People say that he had a really bad game today. I thought he did, and I thought that he still played really great. He was the best left back on the pitch. I don't know. He wasn't even far behind Rensch. He just, everything was happening on the right flank for us. So Angelino still had some fantastic tackles, some passes, some through balls, some great runs. I don't know. It's just a bad game for him is still like 7 out of 10. So I don't know, dude. That's a tough one. I feel Rensch is... Rensch is... You know what? I'm just gonna do something real quick. He's still bigger, faster. Not faster. He's bigger and stronger and more technically gifted. He also plays on the right byline and doesn't really deviate from that. Whereas Wesley drops central for some reason, plays more of a midfield role anyway. So it's interesting. He's slower than Wesley. Like, he has a better cross. Wesley has a better shot, which is really, really weird. But yeah. Oh, wait, one sec. So apparently his name is pronounced Divine Rens in Dutch. I don't know. I just don't think that Wesley is a clear-cut starter for us, because Rens is really, really, really good. And we got our confirmation now. Is he going to bring that up again in the future games? Rens is just more better technical player, in the sense that he knows what to do with the ball and it reads the game better. Whereas Wesley just kind of tries to make things happen, which, you know, risky. So he's way faster and probably doesn't think as much, where Divine Rensch obviously thinks before making plays. And I feel like that's the biggest difference between them. Of course, Rensch is bigger, stronger defender. Wesley is just more agile, faster, quicker, but, you know, weighs as much as a mattress, maybe less. But yeah. So you said that your man of the match was who?
My man of the match was Rensch.
Oh, okay, yeah. I feel like anyone who says it's not Svilet is just weird.
Well, we went over this last time too. It's the man of the match is Svilar. If it's not Svilar, you know, outside of the box, you have to have Milos Svilar is always the man of the match unless he does something absolutely crazily stupid. But then you have to have an outfield player because it's not fair giving it.
He had two insane saves.
Milos Svilar always gets employee of the month. You have to have a side employee of the month. Best supporting actor.
It's between Rensch and Manu Kone. I think Rensch, because he made stuff happen, whereas Kone was just a very excellent cog in the machine. Rensch was, you know.
I would agree with that.
But still, without Svilar, we lose. I don't think, forced a very horrible shot. Forced another miss. Two fantastic saves, and then the only time he was beaten was when they hit the outside of the post. So not even close. I kind of felt when who was it in the end who had that shot? It wasn't Castellanos, it was the other guy. When the shot went off, maybe, yeah. Svilar was just kind of like, yeah, that's going wide, and then he looked back and he was like, oh shit, that's not as wide as I thought, but it was like still outside of the post, which is, you know, 20 centimeters difference, like it's not nothing. So yeah, Svilar is man of the match for me. Memes aside, he, like, I don't know, this was the first time this season where his performance was actually quite necessary. And he more than delivered. We are so fucking lucky to have him. I see a lot of people are just done with Mancini. Good to see. Pellegrini got his... Yeah, I wanted to address this. Pellegrini got his... I don't know. It's like he was getting a send-off. I don't know what else to call it. He was just out there celebrating with the fans. But it wasn't, you know, one of those like, we beat the Lazio, Manucone carrying a flag or... was he carrying a corner flag?
Yeah, Kone was carrying a corner flag with his jersey on it.
And Mancini was carrying the actual like giant Roma flag, the banner, and Pellegrini was just out there taking pictures with fans. And it's kind of like, is he saying goodbye? Because this looks like he was saying goodbye. Oh my god, I see the picture now. Yeah, he's... He's like, do my jersey, bro. It's the new Olympic torch. Olympico torch. Vinicius Asada said that this is it. Pellegrini is not getting extended and we want to sell him either this summer. Didn't happen. Or in winter. Probably going to happen. So this very well could have been the last derby that Pellegrini plays. And again, what a send-off. What a swan song. What a conclusion to his career. It would be just hilarious if he just doesn't play a single game again. But nah,
yeah, it feels like will. We just need to keep him in a coffin or something, only for the derby.
He will play more because Gasperini said he's a very, very special player and he can be even better and he wants more from him and blah blah blah. But yeah, he's gonna play more. Which again, I don't care. It's Gasperini's system. He came here to win. He is bigger than our club has been in recent years, in recent decade, really. So,
hey, 9 points out of 4 games so far. That's pretty good for Gasperini's system.
Fantastic, fantastic change of topics, which is exactly what I wanted to bring up. So, there were people saying that they wish the Torino blunder had happened so that Roma could still be, you know, 4-0-0. I extremely disagree with that because, oh my god, Roma plays Lazio in the penultimate game of the season, May 17, and then Verona away to close the season. I genuinely don't agree with that. I'm glad that we lost one game very early because if we had this thing going where Gasperini's winning games and just winning every single game, then the pressure would just keep on mounting and every single game would be even more pressure of like, not we're playing to win, but like we have to win. We have to keep on winning. We have to keep on going. And you've seen it in the NBA when a team like goes on a huge winning streak and then they lose a game, they immediately lose a couple of more because the bubble bursts, the pressure that's been mounting bursts, some first issues start showing up. This team is not as good as 3-0 and 1. Like it really isn't that good yet. We've scored 3 goals in 4 games and only conceded 1. So we're not there yet. I think actually I'm just reading something from Gasperini here that he said we need to create better attacks. That's absolutely it. I'm happy for that reality check that came on very early because it just completely blew away any expectations that were already kind of getting out of hand. So that's it. That's my point.
Yeah, no, like I said earlier in the thing, it's good that we got the wins, but I feel like they're against inferior opposition. And like I said, I'm not impressed by this Lazio team. And I feel like it's good to get the wins against the smaller clubs. And so it's good so that way we can work out some tweaks and get some stuff out of the way before we go face some more serious opposition. We have European nights coming up on Wednesday, and it's a good time to start tinkering, adjusting. It feels like Roma's attack isn't really happening very well. Like, we had 13 shots this match. There was 22 shots in the loss to Torino. Like, we're shooting, just not getting quality shots. But that'll come with time. The pressing looks pretty clean. There are some scary moments in it, but it feels like it's a good system to improve and solidify and lay the groundwork, and it's coming along nicely.
The video of Monokone wearing the flag is just absurdly good.
What do you think is the top flag episode in recent years? I think Mancini with the Ratio flag is probably my favorite.
Mancini is a tourist attraction. He's there to keep the dumb masses of Roma fans happy. You know, the people who yell, "Make America great again," and people go like, "Yes, fuck yes, you said it, America." The same thing with Mancini. He's like, "I'm a Romanista for life," and people go like, "Fuck me, ah, Mancini, put your seed in my mouth." Yes, that's the type of dumbasses. I don't know. It's kind of same with Pellegrini, except he was actually born in Rome. So
you're saying the people who tell Mancini to put seed, so you're saying Mancini's dick is named Huge Opportunity?
What a great name for a penis. Huge Opportunity coming your way. Like, oh, well, another missed huge opportunity. Another blown huge opportunity. What are we talking about? I don't know, dude. I just feel like people need to open their eyes, and not people, just fans in Rome. There's like fans who would like to discuss Roma, and then they kind of seem to agree on things eventually. It took people 2.5 years a year and a half, I guess, to realize that Mourinho's tactics don't work. But then there is fans in Rome who are like, "Mourinho is the greatest thing that's ever happened to Roma. Pellegrini is the greatest captain ever. Cristante is the best midfielder in the world." It's like, no, no, they're not. Mancini is a great captain. No, he's not. I don't know. It's just, I don't know if I'm getting older and the loudness of people is getting to me, or is if it's been this way forever. But that just people yelling everything with just insane conviction without any discourse. Like the same thing with tactics last week. Everybody wanted to come out of their basements and just be like, "Dar, what are these tactics? This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen." You don't know the whole story. You genuinely don't know the whole story. You don't know if half the players were injured, if people were sick, if Gasperini was like, "Shit, I need to neutralize this somehow, and I don't know how to do it."
I would rather go try and experiment early on in the season. When you try and change stuff up midway, that's when it starts getting dangerous. Or, you know, if you had a severe lead or something against your next opposition, like if you were 15 points up in fourth place or higher or whatever, and it's like, okay, fine, you can have some kind of a cushion to experiment with. But I'm glad that he's trying new stuff out at the beginning rather than the middle.
Yeah, Guendouzi just felt Cristante's enormous aura. He got knocked down by Cristante's huge opportunity. Oh boy. I don't know. How are you a referee and you see this and you're like, "Yeah, this is a foul. He kind of got close to him." Entered his
I would have given a card for simulation at that point.
How are you a ref and you see a player running for like 5 more meters and then falls, and because he's like, oh, he touched me over there. Like, dude, the ref, 5 meters ago, he touched me. Like, that's not a foul. Yeah, okay, so Matteo Guendouzi, horrendous player. We hate him, despise him, hate him to death. Just absolute piece of
trash.
Bird. Got a red card, made everybody happy. I don't know what he got a red card for, but he got a red card, and we
are being a happy whiny little bitch.
Sure. So I will be extremely terribly happy when this era of the Senatori is over. Nothing against them in this instance or in this train of thought. I'm just tired of the same faces and same problems. I'm thinking about the same things of like, well, we lack leadership, and also this guy is kind of a psycho, and also whatever. Any concluding thoughts? Anything we didn't talk about? Nothing comes to mind.
No, just Roma starts its European adventure on Wednesday.
Wednesday? Really?
Wednesday.
Wednesday. Millwall, Frosinone. Is Frosinone back in Serie A? No, it's not. They just left. Where are we playing? We're playing against Nice. In France.
Alliance, right. Riviera.
9 p.m. game. Red Stars playing Celtic. That kind of sucks. Dinamo Zagreb is playing Fenerbahce, so that's going to also be one to watch. Nothing interesting, I guess. Who do you think wins? What happens? What's your predictions?
I feel like there's going to be a draw. I feel like it's the beginning of Europa League, and I feel that both teams are going to be trying to feel each other out.
I think Roma wins off a Dovbyk goal.
Jan Szukowski is already suspended. Thanks for helping Lega Warsaw get in, and then you go and
like, yeah.
They're like, oh, is he gonna be suspended? Yeah, I was just making sure to get sent off early so he wouldn't miss his flight to Rome.
I'm not even sure if he's allowed to play or eligible to play in Europa League for us. I'm not entirely sure. I don't think he is. But yeah, either way, it's going to be an interesting game. We don't really play well against French teams for some reason. I don't know why. It's been a while since those glory days of Amantino, Mancini, and Totti tearing apart Lyon of the old. But we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be interesting for sure. And
what did we play? We've played a team out of France for
in the friendly.
It was like, it felt like last year and the two years ago. It was, we were playing a French team in preseason, and it felt like they was always it, had our number.
Was it wrong?
No, it wasn't wrong. Toulouse. It was Toulouse.
Oh, Roma's games, Toulouse.
That's right. No, Szukowski is on the list. He's just suspended for this game.
Oh, we lost to Toulouse last summer in a friendly at home.
That's right.
All right. So, I'm predicting that Dovbyk is going to score. And for some reason, we're going to enter October with Dovbyk scoring more goals than Ferguson. And people are just going to be so confused. And I cannot wait for those discussions. I don't know.
I want, like, unfortunately, at this point in the like right now, with people being recency biased, we're having a discussion: who should we keep, Ferguson or Dovbyk? And unfortunately, it's for the wrong reasons. I really wish it was the other way around. Oh, they both scored like 2 or 3 goals, have some assists. Like, who should we keep? But that's not happening.
The engine has just started warming up. I'm not worried. I'm just kind of looking forward to the chaos of Dobbyk scoring and Ferguson not. Because if Dobbyk does score, people are just going to be like, wow, Ferguson could have scored that. Which is fine, you know, fair, probably. But in a month when it's like Ferguson, 0 goals, Dobbyk, 4 goals, like, well, can we talk about Ferguson's 40 million price tag? Yeah.
Well, in the Europa League right now, Nice is 11th in Ligue 1, so they are 2 wins, 3 losses, no draws, with a -3 goal differential. So,
awesome.
Hopefully they continue that form into the Europa League and we can take advantage of that.
Well, shout out to United. I hope they fire Amorim because I think he's a good coach, great person as well. And I think that United need to be in a bigger shithole than they are now. And congrats on beating Chelsea and making my friend lose money because he put money on Chelsea to win.
Did you see Onana had an assist?
No.
Onana had an assist, cleaned it up, put it long, got an assist off of a play. It's the curse of United.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And United fans behave as if this is a personal attack on them, but it's just their club is rotten from the core. And that I don't mean from like United's fans' core. I mean the company itself of Manchester United, of the Glazers, they stole money from the club. Like, they're stealing it, so they're just running on marketing and nothing else. Like, if they're investing a lot of money into the team, it's because they know that people are going to be buying jerseys, that FIFA is going to pay them a lot of money because they're a very, very popular team to play on FIFA because they just always have unreal lineups. Like, a couple of years ago when they were dog shit, I was playing United against you, if you remember, and just an insane team. That's United every single year. Like, they don't have organization, they don't have vision, they don't have any plans, they just buy whatever they can and then they pay extra money just to make fans excited and be like, oh, it's an £80 million player, we got this. Oh, it's an £80 million player, mate. And yeah, it's not a good football team. It's not a good football organization. It's just sad because I really liked United. They had no reason to be good, hired Ferguson, and then they were good for 25 years. And Ferguson was terrible the first, I don't know, 5 or 6 seasons before they started finishing in top 3 or even won the league. No, they were like 7th and 8th every year, and then they just won the league and then never looked back. Something like that. Look it up. That's it for now. Join us next week, I guess, unless Char has something else to say.
See you next week after whatever we do in the Europa League or whatever.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter or don't. You don't have to. We won't really post anything anyway, so who cares?
We only post if it's something that hits us at like 3 a.m. and is insanely funny. With the desperation of a soldier, my lyric told ya, feel my heartbeat even colder. Fighting for my rights in dark and alleys like guerrilla warfare. Now I plan assassinations because the Western nation keeps us in ghettos like an urban reservation. I'll attack your red dawn, no time remaining on point. Military missionaries, how I vary. My mind is scary, preparations for crime. One time, feel me rain, so feel me rain. Black rain. Black rain, Citizen Kane, talking black rain, black rain, black rain. Peace students in the game, black rain, through the struggles and the strain, black rain, elements of mind, so feel the rain from behind, black rain, peace students in the game, black rain, through the struggles and the strain, black rain, black rain.